Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue along with our wonderful panel and our panelists, I should say. So let me introduce them to you for this Monday morning, the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo, which we'll be celebrating on the program later on. We're excited about that. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Hello, hello.
Political consultant Libby Post joins us, as she does most Monday mornings.
Hello.
And we'll be hearing a lot of Libby this week. We're very happy about that. That's awesome. And WAMC's newsman Ray Graff to my immediate left. How are you, sir?
Hello.
In geography.
He's to your left? I got it.
That's amazing.
Yes. that's amazing. And reminder, you can see us online.
You're both number one.
And watch us on the web stream at wamc.org. And if you turn on right now in about 10 minutes, you'll see something very special. Also, make sure that you take WAMC with you. You can download our new mobile app for streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. All you have to do is go to your iTunes or Google Play App Store and just put WAMC in the search box, install, mix, and enjoy.
Did you hear the big news, Joe, that Mr. Big is going to give us $25,000 if starting today we can raise $200,000 for the lockbox?
And
can you imagine what that is, $25,000? That's a lot of money.
We'll have an update at 9:55 this morning.
Wow. Who's going to deliver the news? Red Rider of the Purple Sage, father, son. Very same.
Okay. Anyway, we'll be doing that. But let's get to the news of the day, shall we? Let's talk about what is going on, and we'll begin with Ukraine and the tensions mounting. It seems that I guess that's just the order of the way we've been doing things, because the divisions and the tensions have been mounting for weeks now. Divisions deepened in Ukraine's third-largest city Sunday as pro-Russian militants attacked a police station in Odessa and freed 67 of their allies, while pro-Ukrainian activists gathered with sticks and clubs and vowed to defend the southern city from the kind of takeovers that have occurred in the eastern part of the country. The spread of the violence to Odessa has raised the stakes dramatically in the Ukraine crisis, bringing the conflict between pro-Russian and pro-Ukrainian forces to the country's most important port. The failure of the police to prevent the violence has underlined how quickly Ukraine's security forces are losing control of their country. Sunday's mayhem occurred 2 days after 46 people died in clashes and a fire in the city. The fact that most of the victims were pro-Russian activists has given their supporters a raw new sense of grievance. What do we make of this news, Alan Chartok?
Well, what we make of it is what we've been making of it for weeks now, which is the only way to really understand it is to bore a hole into Putin's head and put a Hoosie Watcha in there so you could see the image. A Hoosie Watcha.
Yeah,
you know.
Hoosie Watcha.
My pediatrician told me years ago that, you know, the thing that they explore your ear with was a ear looker inner. So I've always
noted that pediatricians have fascinating names. What was the name of your pediatrician? Do you remember?
Dr. Whitfield.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, not my personal pediatrician, because that would have been 70.
Right.
You know,
well, but do you remember your pediatrician's
No,
name?
I remember my kid's pediatrician, and he was a wonderful doctor. And he's gone now, but he used to talk about an ear looker inner.
Because my first pediatrician was Dr. Badiata. Isn't that the greatest name in the world?
Yes.
Dr. Badiata.
Is it a B-O-D-Y-O-D-E-R?
No.
No.
And then and then that was in Washington. And then in Philadelphia, my pediatrician was Dr. Magna Tolchik. Who sounded like? Well, I'm sure she still does if she's with us. Sounded like Arianna Huffington. So
Whoa.
There.
Ew. Very nice. Darling.
So I was, as I was saying.
Yes.
As I was saying, if you figured out what was on the president's mind here, Putin's, you would have a sense of what was going to happen. Now, my sense of it is that the further you get away from the east towards the west of Ukraine, the more likely you are to have civil war and this up against each other. because clearly there are now getting to be more pro-Kiev than pro-Putin people. And so now it's really getting dangerous, and that explains the civil war part of this and the violence. Now, if Putin sends in his troops, and who knows who these thugs are who are there? If he sends in his troops, then there's no way the West is coming back at him. I don't think so. I don't think anybody thinks their politics are important enough, if the president or anybody else, to do that. Maybe McCain, but otherwise, Putin is going to win if he does it. And in the long run, I don't know what happens to Russia, but in the long run, I think his track record here has been that his popularity goes up.
Some news crossing the AP wire this morning. More violence today. Ukraine's interior ministry says 4 officers have been killed, 30 wounded in gun battles with pro-Russian militants occupying the eastern city of Slavyansk, I believe is how you say it. And this is from the AP. A statement on the ministry's website today did not give further details about how those officers died, but a separate statement said Ukrainian troops had started a, quote, anti-terrorist operation this morning against the pro-Russia forces, which numbered around 800. So apparently the pro-Russia forces are deploying large caliber weapons now and mortars. So perhaps
I wonder
even
where that
more
comes
of an escalation.
From. I wonder where that.
If you read the New York Times article yesterday on the front page.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to give you an idea of who's who.
Yeah.
And this really is a geopolitical who's on first.
Yeah.
You know, because even the people they interviewed, they're like, well, some of them were for Russia, some of them weren't. That wasn't what they were agreeing on. They were just against whoever had been in power. And when you look at it from that kind of perspective, you wonder what's really going on. And I think, and they're like, no, there's no Russians here, because if there were Russians here, we'd have better guns. And I do think that Putin is pulling all the strings, and it remains to be seen. What's, you know, for me personally, Odessa is where my family comes from.
So and
I know none of them are left, but still, but I just feel this tug.
The anti-Putin tug?
No, just a tug to keep people alive and to find a peaceful way out of this so that the whole countryside isn't destroyed.
Well, what is the peaceful way out of it, Libby?
Well, the peaceful way out of it is for Putin to be a man here, and not his definition of the bare-chested beating of a man, but, beating his chest, but come up with a solution that's peaceful, that everybody can live with, that isn't about him expanding his Russian empire, but about getting back to the roots of democracy, which supposedly is what the fall of the Soviet Union was all about.
Well, you know, we get a lot of mail from our constituency here who point out that the people who are the Kievans are anything but people on white horses.
There's some
very bad people there.
Yep.
And that they are as bad as the Putinistas.
I like it.
You know, Putinistas on the Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, right.
So I think that the geopolitics of it looks pretty plain to me. If Putin decides he wants the whole shooting match,
he'll get it. Oh, yeah.
Do you think that there may be a two-state solution here? In other words, some of the separatists, they're not separatists, but insurgents, want more autonomy, and possibly some separatists are among that group. So is there a possibility that a viable solution then becomes the East perhaps having been lost, separate states?
So the Balkanization, basically.
Correct.
But there would have to be a blinking, wouldn't there?
I'm sorry, Joan?
On Putin's part, wouldn't there have to be some concession, obviously?
I mean, well, we're already Balkanized.
Yeah, you know, I really don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the point is, does he want it all? If he really wants it all, and he really wants to commit to getting it all, he'll get it. He'll get it.
And he does want it all.
I don't know.
I think he does.
I don't know. I think there's a good deal of opinion in this country that we have no business there, that it is a sticky wicket at very best. What, you don't like that? Sticky wicket?
No, great phrase. Haven't heard it very often.
Oh, yeah.
On the
but
show.
You're talking about people in this country.
Yeah.
Right.
I think this country is very important to this because it's clear that the EU is scared out of its wits about this whole thing. They don't want to lose the oil. They don't want to lose a thing. They talk big. Every time I read in the New York Times that Putin and Merkel.
Yeah, why? I was going to ask you that. Why
I've been
is it
on the
that
phone
Merkel has a. Can have some sway over him. What
well,
is
well first, I don't know if she has any sway
well,
over
they,
him.
They
I think she's
intimated that
sort of the press
the
secretary for Putin. And obviously, there's a two-way street here. They sell them the oil in Germany. They need mm-hmm. it. And the Germans pay for it. So therefore, you know, there is something between them. My guess here is that when those conversations are taking place, the assessment on the part of Putin is who's for it, who is willing to really fight for it. Now, the Brits do whatever we tell them, always have. And so basically always have. There have been a couple
except
of...
Except in the 1700s.
Of, yeah, little exception.
Right.
Yeah. And there have been some things now, but they have no stomach for defying the United States. And in fact, Tony Blair's undoing, I believe, was because of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if his sense of it is that the EU will never fight back, that the only ones on the other side really who are insisting on this are Kerry and the United States and Obama, then I think he proceeds.
I just want to put this into just what we've been talking about and the violence that took place yesterday and today, that is the worst violence in Ukraine since their president fled to Russia in February when we started talking about all of this during the Olympics. So just to put that into a context. We're going to take a break. We welcome your letters. We welcome your thoughts. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We will be back to discuss other topics after the short break.
Support comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, Troy, New York, featuring local producer-only foods and products every Saturday from 9 to 2 in downtown Troy, troymarket.org. Alarms of Berkshire County, offering full-service residential and commercial security and life safety monitored systems based on individual or corporate needs for nearly 35 years. Alarmsofberkshirecounty.com. And Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation. Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com.
Do you have young blood? Do you have old blood?
Oh, boy.
What?
Should you have young blood?
Well, no. The mice experiment just showed. There was an come on, Ray.
Two teams of scientists published studies on Sunday showing that blood from young mice reverses aging in old mice. So forget city mice and country mice.
This is the Keith Richards effect? I don't think so. It didn't work for him.
And now they're going to try to start the same experiment with humans.
Now, what this does...
When's your first injection?
Soon.
Yeah.
Rejuvenates their muscles and brains, and there's a phrase in the Times article where they say, as ghoulish as this may sound, and I don't find that to be ghoulish.
It might be very good for Alzheimer's.
That's the good news. It could lead to treatment for disorders like both Alzheimer's and heart disease
and dementia.
So
I don't need heart disease. Leave that one out.
Why?
Because it doesn't affect
the heart
him.
No, dementia. That's a whole different story.
Rudolf Tanzi, a professor of neurology at the Harvard Medical School, says, I'm extremely excited, not involved in the research, but said that these findings could be a game changer. The research builds on centuries of speculation that the blood of young people contains substances that might rejuvenate older adults.
Now, the question is it like changing the oil in your car? Because we may be back to the old scale. You know, that's how George Washington died. They bled him. Mm-hmm. So do you have to take some out before you put some new young
question.
Stuff in?
You go in. We got to top you off, Mr. Shartok. You're down a quart. Yeah.
Well, you see, if you're down a quart, that's easy. You just put new stuff in. But let's say you have enough blood.
Right.
But the question then is, do you have to let some out to put some new stuff in? Got it? That's why.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why you, sir, with a whole lot of children, are in luck.
Really?
Well, sure.
Well, I thought you need mice for this.
No, it all started with mice.
I'm being.
Let's. Yeah.
What are you being?
I guess I'm dense. I don't understand why having more children. What that
well,
has
you
to do with
more suppliers.
It's genetic. You know. And it's a
genetic. Oh, I see.
You got more suppliers.
Right. I see. Right, so right, you right. can. Oh, yeah. I got you. So yeah. you're sort of building up a farm.
Yeah, it's a blood
right.
farm.
Yeah.
All right. I've had enough of this.
Okay.
This is probably all wrong, by the way.
Yes. 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 It is.
It seems like it may be an oversimplification. The thing,
but it's the round table. So you know.
I. Thank you, Libby. I found one of the things interesting in the article is going back to the 1950s. They were doing this in rats.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't really make the connection then, because again,
science wasn't as sophisticated.
Well, and the rats are dead, so then they have to figure out. You know, they're basically doing the autopsies on the rats. Also, I think interesting to this is there seems to be the stem cell component.
That's exactly right.
Which is key, and we sort of have to work that one out as a culture and a
well,
society before
why
we figure all this out.
That's why people live to 200. But when you say it worked on it didn't work on rats, but did work on mice, it brings to mind the old saw about a dean is a mouse studying to be a rat.
Okay, let's move on, shall
what
we?
The hell happened to this show?
Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to try to bring back order to the world, and we'll
call,
be back.
Let's call Putin.
Yes, that's right. We'll be back, and we'll have more stories, and we'll have an update on the lockbox, and we'll read your letters, and we'll do all kinds of great stuff, all of it in an attempt to make you forget what just happened. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel once again, and we are underway and we welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. We will dive into a few more topics as we fill out the second half hour this morning. But before we do that, we check in with Alan and read the mailbag.
Okay, Matt Mann writes, Alan remembers, ? So Betty bought a better bit of butter to make the bitter butter better. I don't always understand, but what can I say? Okay, so now, from Pete. While I do enjoy the tete-a-tete, the unsubstantiated speculation on Mr. Putin's motives regarding the Ukraine is going beyond the pale. The meat of the matter here is that Putin is simply reacting to provocations that were begun and financed by the U.S. State Department. That's an important context to remember, and most unfortunately, events are now in charge and will take their own chaotic course. As with every conflict, our foreign services, in quotes, have instigated. Thanks for the program. And then Michael says, young blood, this is going to create a whole new generation of old vampires.
There you go.
That's what I got. You can find anything else?
There's one that just came in. Did you get that? From Irene?
No, I didn't. No, unfortunately.
It says Ukraine?
Ukraine. No, you read it. Go ahead.
Okay. All the talk about Putin and the alleged power he has to affect anything in Ukraine misses the point that it's not Putin, or more accurately, Russia, who is in charge and is behind the events. It's the Ukrainian population that has absolute right to decide what they want. And obviously, a huge part of that population wants to be either independent of the current illegitimate government or directly aligned with Russia. You pay Ukrainian people huge disrespect by talking about them like mindless puppets. They are definitely not.
Well, I don't know that we were doing that, to be fair. I mean, I don't like to get defensive. But I don't think we were talking about them if they were mindless puppets. What I do think is that they have sides. They've chosen up sides. And the further, as I said before, the further you get away from the East, the more potential for civil war you have, because now you have, you know, sort of equal parts.
We love your letters. We love to read them. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll get to more as we continue throughout this morning. While we, in the meantime, we move on and talk about other issues of the day. And let us start with the big story here in Albany, which, of course, is the Joe Bruno trial. A slimmed down case that will focus on consulting fees gets underway today. Joe Bruno, who obviously a powerful Republican, will be back in court, and we'll see what happens. This is a much more focused case. And Alan, I guess, what do you make of this?
Well, somebody once told me, if the feds want you, they'll get you.
Right.
And I think that that may be the case here. Look. You have a guy sold Putin a horse that wasn't worth a lot of money, for a lot more money than the horse was worth.
Did you mean Bruno or Putin?
Yeah. Oh, I am so sorry, Libby. Once again, your razor sharp mind has saved me, maybe from myself.
Maybe.
Maybe I need a pint of fresh blood.
Okay, let's get back.
That sounds okay. That does sound ghoulish.
Yeah, it does. Welcome to the round table.
Okay. Bruno.
Yeah, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so here's what. Bruno, 85 years old, gets put on trial and basically gets convicted on two of the counts, mainly the horse, as I remember it. And then what happens is that the law itself gets questioned in the Supreme Court and gets thrown out and has to be sort of rethought. The feds wait a long time for this 85-year-old man. And come back against him one more time.
Last trial was in 2009, so 5 years later.
Yeah, and come back and do it another time. This is a town where, unless I'm misreading the Times Union, in its attempt to keep things as clean as they can here in Albany, is a huge, sort of pusher of this story. And so now you got the town's leading newspaper, you've got the U.S. Attorney's office, and they're still going off after Putin. And this is a time when...
Bruno.
God almighty, why
That's okay.
am I doing
That's all right.
It? No, it's not all right, and I apologize. I really screwed up. So there you are. I think that the Bruno is in a situation now where... he faces some long odds, but 5 years is a long time for an 85-year-old man. That's all I got to say about it.
I'm curious, and I don't want to create trouble here, but what is your concern about the press? I mean, it is a legitimate story, isn't
absolutely.
It? Yeah. Okay.
No, it's absolutely a legitimate story. I know why the TU, I suspect I know why the TU thought it was so important, because it always has been a big problem. Look, this is a dirty government here, and there are efforts to clean it up right now. And this is one of those things that has just sort of hung on. But 85 seems awfully old.
But...
are you saying he shouldn't be... be prosecuted because he's 85 years old?
Let's put it this way. It's taken 5 years to do it. 5 years. So even if you put him in jail for a year, which is, I suspect, what would happen, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I think they're trying to...
I don't know why I'm projecting myself into this.
Well, it's because you're obsessed with youth. But I think they're trying to make an example of him.
No question.
I think that's what this is about.
Well, that's
and
right.
They're just trying to make an example of him. And if he goes to jail, he'll go to jail. But, when you just read the story, it really looks like money was taken and favors were given.
But, Libby, let me respond to that. That is what this legislature is about.
I know
and what
it is.
This government is
Absolutely.
About. Absolutely.
It's what every government's about.
There was a story in the Times this weekend. We have a governor. I get criticized every time I do this, but we have a governor who's going to have $50 million to run with. His own people are telling me that. $50 million to run with. You look and see who it was that gave the $50 million. Everybody who wants a casino has put something in. If not everybody, most of them. And the same thing with the legislature. Examine it. You know, it's nothing more than one of those green markets where you give the money and you get something back. That's what it's about. So when you say it looks like, you know, he got money, welcome to the club.
Oh, I know. I know. This is part of the biggest problem in Albany and in politics is the money.
Well,
and
it's
now that corporations are people and you can do whatever you want.
It's always been this way. It was this way before the Supreme Court. It's fee for service. And that's why the lobbying industry in this town is so healthy.
We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Going to go to a break in just a moment. Before we do, we should mark or at least mention that the 44th anniversary of Kent State University marked the 44th anniversary of the killings of four students this weekend with a candlelight vigil, a program remembering the fateful day, and a look at activism then and now. And it's fascinating to take that look, isn't it?
It is. You know, Jeffrey Miller was from my town where I grew up. I knew his mother. And I was 12 when all of that happened. And it shook up the entire community, and it radicalized the community in a very real way. And you know, it's one of those things that you carry with you for the rest of your life. And it was a defining moment in this country. And last night I watched the program that CNN had put together. And no one has ever taken responsibility for pulling those triggers. Nobody is saying if there was ever an order given or anything like that. And when you hear the defiance of the Ohio governor at that point and Nixon calling all these folks bums, you know, there was just this total disdain for free speech and for protest and for the Constitution, and people paid with their lives.
Alan?
Well, I think Libby's right. However, I suspect it meant more in our full consciousness of what was going on in the country. You say nobody has told me, nobody has, you know, ever had to take
responsibility
for it. But I think that responsibility has been assigned. And it was too much. And I think it's one of the things that made this country turn the corner.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll move on to other issues. We welcome your mail, as always, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Storm King Art Center, a 500-acre sculpture park in Orange County, New York, offering programs for children and adults Sundays at 1 p.m. StormKing.org. St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. Choose stmarys.com. And MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including showplace wood products, countertops, design services, and showroom. MKCKitchens.com.
I have to say, I was yesterday enjoying my Sunday, and I looked down at my phone, and it said that there was an accident at the Ringling Brothers Circus, and my heart fell because I know that the circus was here in Albany, and I knew people who were going, and I thought, oh my God, and then it turned out to be in
Providence.
In Providence, which, you know, still the tragedy. I'm not saying that, but it was. If for those of you who haven't seen the footage, it is really frightening. Nine performers were injured in an accident about noon in an aerial act in Sunday's performance of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus
at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, and the nine of the performers, while they do say that all women, they're in critical condition at Rhode Island Hospital, not with life-threatening injuries, but serious injuries in critical condition. And so they do this thing where they have eight performers hang like a human chandelier using their hair. And there is a metal structure that holds the top performer so that chandelier can hang. And they drop the curtain around it, and then seconds later you see the chandelier, and then it's supposed to turn, and just as it starts to, the entire support system of that falls, and the eight women fell 25 to 40 feet. The other person injured was on the ground, sort of, you know, watching the thing and assisting, and they landed on her. So it is this metal frame apparatus.
The clamp snapped.
That's came what the free from the metal saying. Truss, right, and then snapped and went down, and so falling 25 to 40 feet. It was obviously it's harrowing, and you sort of wonder. I guess this is what I wanted to get to the larger point this morning of you know, we've had circuses for a long time. We've had different things, but. It seems, and we also every time the circus shows up, we talk about different animal rights groups come out. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but you know, there's also human casualties there too. I don't know what it is about us that we, you know, I guess that's the fun about the circus is to see these death-defying acts. And but then when you actually see someone get hurt, it sort of puts the whole thing into question. But, like, oh wait, what are we doing?
But don't you think was it Cirque du Soleil?
Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah. You know, a good example, because the big difference between animals and humans, I think, is that humans can make choices about themselves, where animals cannot, and so that there are people, PETA and others, who are passionate. You know, about animal rights. I have never seen anything quite like the debate over whether there should be horse-drawn carriages in New York City. I mean, it's made the front page of the papers. It's obviously good for circulation because the Daily News has adopted it as if it's very own. So people are concerned about their animals. Look, we love our animals.
I understand that. What I'd come back with as an argument is that when you see people, and it wasn't in this particular case, but in Cirque du Soleil and as well as in Ringling Brothers, when you see an act that involves seven, eight, 9-year-old children, you wonder how much of that is their choice.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I would say that's a very good point. On the other hand, if there were adults, would you make the same argument?
Well, yeah, no. I think it's an interesting thing. And I also wonder of as we try to outdo, you know, you try to make the next trick bigger or better, are we compromising safety in doing that? And look, with all of this stuff, we say this about carnivals. You have people coming, they come to town, they set it up quickly, and look, we've had circuses for hundreds of years, and the records of accidents are rare in comparison to that number. But still, you come in, you do your thing, and then you leave. It goes up, it goes down, but it does make you want to take a second look at it.
I forget how Houdini died. Does anybody remember?
Got punched in the stomach by a child during the during an intermission.
Yeah.
Got punched in the stomach, so he didn't do one of his
There
tricks.
Was an act. There was a thing, and he was laying down, if I remember the story correctly. There was a mechanism that he employed, which he had not employed, and this kid came in and just knocked him, and it killed him.
During the trick?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't on stage. It was backstage.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But
there goes my thesis.
Well, if I have that story correct, which I think I do.
You'll have nine letters now saying, maybe not.
we've covered it all. Mice blood and right. Houdini's death, and I think we're pretty well covered now.
You know, I just want to make one point, is that Cirque du Soleil and those kinds of acts came into being so that animals wouldn't be used in a circus-like setting. And there's always going to be a risk. no matter what we do. I mean, I could walk outside and get, you know, hit by a truck. So there's always going to be a risk in when you do those kinds of daredevil things. And we just need to be responsible. I mean, the idea that these women were hanging by their hair.
Right.
Just, I mean, it's amazing to me that, A, they could put up with that kind of pain, but, B, that this is what we find to be entertaining. I think we need to redefine what's entertaining.
Yeah. I agree. And if that is successful and people respond to that, then the next act has to be bigger and better.
Thing?
You know,
right.
And then we have to figure, oh,
right.
Okay, no,
right.
By their pinky toes. And then, you know, and at what point does
and
that
stop?
And
then we bring the, you know, the S&M folks in and all the stuff that they like to do.
well,
you know, there were people, there were people that do, you know, you have all of this piercings and how people do all that sort of stuff. And when you put those two cultures together, I can see them making that connection. And we just need to be careful.
We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC. Are we taking a break before, or are they just... Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll have a lockbox update with Megan Finnegan. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Jim Lavoulis in WAMC's Berkshire Bureau, where you can hear WAMC on 105.1 in Great Barrington and 90.3 in Albany. We cover the news of the Berkshires and Connecticut, from culture and nature to business and politics. Catch it all on the air and online at WAMC.org.
All right, just to set this up in our final moments, we have a lockbox challenge underway.
An unbelievable lockbox
challenge. All right, quickly set it up, Alan, and then we'll get to Megan Finnegan, who's going to give us the big number.
Okay, Mr. Big, who has been incredibly generous in the past, but tough. He's a businessman and is an enabler. He said, let me help you out. If you can raise $200,000, then I will give you $25,000 of my own money. And he means it, and he has done it before. We have also failed in the past, so it's a huge something to do, and we're going to try. So, Megan.
Yes.
How much have we raised so far?
Well, we have already raised $125,000 towards the goal.
Yes. Now, let's be clear on what the goal is.
Right.
The goal is, because we had raised 116 or something like that, the goal is now 325.
Right, 325.
So, 325. So now we've raised the first, from everything we've raised, 100 and what?
$125,000 is what we've got.
But we need to get to the 325 mark to
By the morning of the fund drive
to get the money, right?
How do people pledge?
Oh, you got to talk to a microphone, right?
How do people pledge?
They pledge online at WAMC.org, or there's a lot of people getting renewal notices or getting invitations to join. They can send those back in.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and you can go into the lockbox, and we'll be updating every day at this time.
I'm scared to death. I really am. Because that's a huge amount of money to lose.
We're going
to
do it.
Just in the minute and a half that we have left, I said this at the beginning of the program, I'll say it now. Let's put this into context. Last time, our last fund drive was mercifully shorter because of the money we had in the lockbox.
That's right.
So we are trying to replicate that once again.
Yep.
And to do that, we have this incredible challenge, right?
You couldn't have said it better.
Okay. So
unless you said Putin.
Right. So that's the point, is to get to that. So if my numbers are right, we get to 325, then we get 25, and we have 350 collected already going into the first day of the drive.
Right,
yeah,
and it's
correct.
Very clear that right during that weekend, the money will come pouring in also. So hopefully we can even match what we had last time.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Megan, thank you for keeping track of all of this. You'll be back tomorrow, I believe, with another update. It is WAMC.org to get in on the lockbox, WAMC.org. Megan, Alan, Libby, Ray, thank you all very, very much.
Thanks,
we will continue
the roundtable after this short break.